All right, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 12. Lord willing, tonight I will try to be brief, basically bringing you what is essentially a devotion. We will look at some verses, but we'll kind of go through them quickly. I originally prepared this message for in the context of servants of God, that is, for preachers, pastors, and things like that, but I think it has the same kind of applicability to every believer, because in some measure, all of us are servants of God, and in some measure, all of us are to be examples, and our life is an example, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we are aware of it or not. And so let's look at Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse number 8. Verse number 8. The Bible says, "And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, What doest thou?" It's interesting. Have you ever been asked something like that? What are you doing? You know, I'm talking about in the context of being a believer, maybe in your workplace or among your family. What are you doing? Or maybe they'll ask you, why are you doing that? And of course, they don't always like the answer. But they asked Ezekiel that as well. Verse 10, "Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say," this is what God's telling Ezekiel to say, "I am your sign. Like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity." Now that's kind of the springboard for what I want to say, but we will stay mostly in Ezekiel. So let's pray together, and then we'll see a few other passages in Ezekiel on this subject. Our Lord, thank you for the chance to meet together as your people. As we look in your word, we pray for your blessing upon it. And we commit this time to you. Lord, we desire nothing but that the word of God might be clearly laid forth, set forth before us, and that we might profit by it. Lord, please help each and every one of your people that are here, and help us to be mindful of these things that Ezekiel experienced as he was a sign to the children of Israel. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says, interestingly, in verse 11, that God tells Ezekiel, "I am your sign." To Ezekiel, Ezekiel is to say to the children of Israel, "I am your sign." Now, we're all aware of signs that are given and when I say sign, I'm not referring to like necessarily healings, but signs that are given in Scripture that were illustrations or an example set forth to display some truth, right? That's what a sign is. That's what we're talking about here. But in this case, this is not something necessarily that Ezekiel said. It was not necessarily something that Ezekiel did, although he did some things we're going to see. The sign in this case is not those things. It's not, you know, like we read about a sign. There was one instance in which a false prophet made a yoke of wood, right? A yoke. And how many of you remember that passage where he made a yoke, and the yoke was a sign to the people? But this is not something that Ezekiel made. The sign in this case is Ezekiel himself. God, in his wisdom and in his power, without consulting with Ezekiel, think about that, without consulting with Ezekiel, chose to make Ezekiel a sign, he himself. And that means that God is going to use him, and specifically God is going to use his life and the things that happen to him, and the things God tells him to do to get a message to the people of Israel. And Ezekiel, the Lord purposed to use Ezekiel in this way. Now, we all want the Lord to use us, but by the time we're done, you might just balk a little bit at the prospect of being used in this way. We all want to be used by the Lord, right? But the kinds of ways that the Lord used Ezekiel were not ways you would normally be thinking of when you're saying, Lord, use me. So let's look at chapter 4, Ezekiel chapter 4, and verse number 1. And you'll see this, you'll see what I mean in just a minute, and how the Lord used Ezekiel as a sign. Ezekiel 4, verse 1, thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. And lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it, and set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. All right, so you have, this is the first instance. This is straight up strange. So I imagine a tile like you might use on your floor, you know, a four square, piece of clay. And he is essentially, I don't know if it says he's portraying, so perhaps he's drawing, or perhaps he's using figurines of some kind, clay or something like that. And he's doing kids stuff, right? He's playing on the floor, you know, like we all did when we were kids. Maybe we do it with Legos, right? And so you make Legos, and he's taking his Legos of his time, and he's portraying a scene in which the city of Jerusalem is being besieged. And he's doing this as a sign. Now that's more commonly what we think of as a sign, right? So this is some weird thing that's out of the ordinary that the Lord's going to use to symbolize it and convey a message to the people of Israel. And so we'll say, all right, if that's the kind of sign the Lord wants us to do, then we're good with that. It's a little strange, and maybe people look at him cockeyed, but it's okay. That's not out of the ordinary. All right, but that's just one. So he had to build a model of the siege of Jerusalem. Keep reading, verse 4. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lay again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore, thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. 430 days. 390 days he was to lay on his left side. 40 days he was to lay on his right side. Now, 390 days is over a year. He could not get up. He couldn't move. And he couldn't switch sides. Now, let me ask you a question. I heard about a guy in India. Happened. It just went out. I heard about a guy in India who, for religious purposes, he raised one of his arms, and it had been raised like 50 years. That was his vow to his God, is to keep his arm in the air. And his arm, well, as a result, as you can imagine, his arm, if it was the right arm as an example, the left arm was completely normal, and the right arm was totally withered. How do you think it would affect Ezekiel if he was laying on his left side? Do you think it would affect his health? Sister Pam's a nurse. Do you think it would affect his vascular system or whatever, blood clot? I don't know. I mean, it's going to affect, muscle atrophy because he's not getting up. He's not, doing anything. So this is what God told him to do as a sign. Remember, Ezekiel himself is a sign. So he lays on his left side 390 days. He lays on his right side 40 days. How many of you still want the Lord to use you? Let's keep reading. Verse 9. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, Now that might be tolerable, okay? All those are things you eat. And make thee bread thereof according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. So while he's laying on his side, he's got to eat this particular recipe, Ezekiel bread, as they call it. This is not bread you would want to eat, though. You'll see why in a minute. And thou shalt take the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. And thy meat, which thou shalt eat, shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, the sixth part of an hin. A hin, in my Bible, it lists it as a gallon and a half. Divide that. A gallon and a half is, let's see, there are how many quarts in a gallon? 4. So a gallon and a half is 6 quarts. So a sixth of that is a quart. A quart of water for a day. It's all you can eat. And the bread. Now, a quart's not a lot of water, especially when it's hot. No tea, no Coke, no juice. 1 quart of water each day, and that's all. And 20 shekels of bread, and that's all. How would that affect your body, you reckon? You're not going to be a happy camper. You start losing vitamins, you know, not to mention how it affects you emotionally and psychologically. Verse 12, and thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of man in their sight. And the Lord said, even thus shalt the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Then said I, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth even till now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself or is torn in pieces, neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth. In other words, saying, oh, Lord, have mercy. You got to help me with this. Now, what does it mean to eat with dung? It means he's going to cook it by burning excrement in an oven. That is revolting, all right? Then he said unto me, lo, verse 15, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread, and water, and be astonished one at another, and consume away for their iniquity. You see that? How many of you still want the Lord to use you? This is what the Lord told Ezekiel to do, to be a sign. He himself. All right, let's keep going. Chapter 5, verse 1. And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife and take thee a barber's razor and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard. Then take thee balances to weigh and divide the hair. Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled. And thou shalt take a third part and smite about it with a knife, and a third part of it, thou shalt scatter in the wind. And I will draw out a sword after them. Thou shalt also take thereof a few in number and bind them in thy skirts, and take of them again and cast them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire. For thereof shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel. To be a sign, the Lord made him shave his head. Okay? Chapter 12. I'm going somewhere. I promised. Hang with me. Chapter 12, verse 1. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing. We would call this just moving, right? And remove by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight as stuff for removing, and thou shalt go forth at even in their sight as they that go forth into captivity. So now his property is being used as part of the sign. All right, we got one more. Stop. Chapter 24. Verse 15. 24. 15. Also, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. What is he talking about? Let's keep reading. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. He did not mourn. It's amazing. And the people said unto me, Wilt thou not tell us what these things are that are to us that thou doest so? And then I answered them, The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Speak unto the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth. And your sons and your daughters whom ye have left shall fall by the sword, and ye shall do as I have done. Ye shall not cover your lips nor eat the bread of men. And your tires shall be upon your heads and your shoes upon your feet. And ye shall not mourn nor weep, but ye shall pine away for your iniquities and mourn one toward another. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. According to all that he hath done shall ye do. And when this cometh, ye shall know that I am the Lord God. The last way that Ezekiel, God appointed Ezekiel to be a sign himself was that his wife would die and he would not be permitted to mourn, to demonstrate and illustrate God's judgment on the people of Israel and what would happen to them when he judged them in hopes they would repent. Now, why did I read all that? Consider what in the prophet's life was required for his service to God. Here's just a snippet. Over a year, more like a year and a half of his life, every moment occupied with what the Lord told him to do. His mobility was dictated by the Lord. His diet, and therefore his health, was affected by what the Lord making him a sign. His sensibilities were violated with the issue with the method of cooking, let's say, with the cakes there. His personal property was affected. He had to move his stuff out of his house. And eventually, even the Lord touched his wife, took her life, and insisted that he not mourn. All of these things were at God's disposal in the prophet's life. God chose to touch the prophet's life in order to teach his lesson to Israel. So here's the thing I want to take away from this, just a couple points and we'll be finished. Thus, being a servant of God involves the whole of our life. It's not just the things we say, and it's not even the things that we do. As a servant of God, God has laid claim to everything in our life. And the Lord will use you as to stretch it a little bit, I think you'll understand what I'm saying. The Lord has chosen to use you and to use me as his servants as a sign to those around us of the gospel. But he's not just going to use, most commonly he uses the way we live, right? We live like people of salt and light, right? But also he uses what we say to them and what, our lifestyle and what the way we talk. We talked this morning in Sunday school about speaking with grace to people. And so the Lord uses all of that, but that's not the limitation of how the Lord uses his servants and how he's chosen. He has laid claim to all of our life. And so he's going to use the things that happen to us as well. And he is going to allow things to come to pass as a sign to other people. Difficulties, things he requires of us. And a lot of those things we will not have any control over. When God separates us out to serve Him, He lays claim over the whole of our life, not just the ministry things that we do. We want the Lord to use us. We remember, He doesn't compartmentalize our life and look at, well, I will use just this part of you. This part of you. One of the most powerful ways, I speak this with fear and trembling. One of the major ways the Lord uses His people is in sorrow. Right? We sorrow not even as others which have no hope. He uses us but you can't be a sign or, as we might say, an example to others in differentiating one hope versus the hope of the world, which is not a hope. He can't do that unless that person goes through that sorrow. He can't do it. And you know that's a tough thing to swallow. But the Lord uses all of the things that go on in our lives, even things that happen to us that we wish never happened, and he can do all kinds of things. You know, you think of 1 Timothy and Titus. Let's peek at that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 real quick. 1 Timothy 3, and this is the requirements for a bishop. A man, chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 Timothy, it says this is a true saying, and if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire the good work. Now, you can imagine a bishop is going to be a servant of God, right? Again, we should all be servants of God, but he is a servant of God that's appointed for a specific office, okay? A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having children in subjection with all gravity. Verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Here the Lord lays requirements. Notice the things this touches on. The Lord's not like, okay, well, he went to seminary and he's a smart guy and he knows how to preach. No. He's setting forth a man in an office to be an example to the church. It affects every part of his life. Mentioned in here is finances, his family, his family's testimony, right? That's in here. His marriage, his marital situation, whether he is able to keep his temper, what he eats and drinks, it mentions given to wine. Whether he's patient, whether he's a man who's quick to be angry and have a temper. Whether he's a brawler, what other people think of him. All these things are mentioned. So the Lord is not just looking at the man's ministry. You see, He lays all of these requirements out because He's looking at the man himself as a sign, or we might say as an example to the people, right? Every part. Now, what's interesting is you might read this and you might think, well, I'm not planning on ever being a pastor, so I don't know why this affects me. But listen, what this is not saying, just when you read this, next time you read this or in Titus, don't read this as, okay, we have a pastor, we pick the pastor, and this is what he then needs to do. Wrong. That is the wrong way to view this. No. You take the pool of men that fit this category, and you pick a man of them that fits this category, right? That's what the requirements mean. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And in Titus it says, if any be blameless. In other words, of the pool of men that are this, these are the people that can go into this office. Well, you know what that implies? That implies that there are a lot of people, that there are many people, maybe men, maybe women, that fill these requirements. That's what it says. So these requirements, obviously they're required for a bishop, but beyond that, this is the way you determine of that pool of people that might serve in this capacity. You have other people that very much fit this description. You know what that means? That means the Lord is looking for people to serve him that whose lives are an example. All of us should be an example, both to each other and to those outside. So that's the first point. The Lord lays claim of the whole life of man. The second thing I want you to see is this. God uses our lives, and I've already touched on this, so we'll just hurriedly go to the next point. God uses our lives as examples to the flock. And that goes this way as well. You know, some of you have been through very difficult things in your life, right? Some of you have been through really difficult things. Some of them are health problems. Some of them are bereavement. You know, whatever it is, some of you have difficult backgrounds that you've overcome or are overcoming. And the Lord puts us all together and you serve as an example to others. You see that? The Lord has chosen to use you as a sign to them. It's amazing. Now, those things that happened might have happened as a result of somebody's sin. They might have happened as a result of natural things in life. But look, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, right? And those things, although they're evil and we wish it never had happened, right? Well, the Lord will still use the experiences in your life, just like Ezekiel, to be an example to others in their lives. And you'll be an illustration of the grace of God that other people in the Lord can see and can draw strength from that. And the last thing I wanted you to see is this. As a servant of God, the whole of our life is at God's disposal. Every part of it. Again, I'm just repeating myself a little bit. But the question, and these things aren't always evil. These things aren't always evil. You know, we looked at Ezekiel and the signs the sign that Ezekiel was involved a lot of hardship. It involved the Lord taking his time, lots of his time, and you know, his health was affecting. You say, well, the Lord doesn't want to do anything to hurt our health. Okay, I agree. We shouldn't destroy the temple of God. But what happens if, you know, some people, like for instance, you know, a Christian might be involved in a car accident or something like that. And the Lord can use that for good as a sign. They lay in that hospital bed and, man, they wish that had never happened. But you know what? They lay in that hospital bed with a totally, they're not throwing things at the nurses and cursing them out, even though they're in the exact same pain as everyone else. Wow, what an example. But again, the Lord uses the lives of his servants, the whole of the life. So the question I want to ask you as we look at these things is this. Are you prepared? Am I? And I ask myself just as readily as I ask you. Are you prepared to be a living illustration for God's purposes? Are we prepared for that? Lord knows I don't want to have to endure pain, and I'm thankful, at least in my own heart, I'm thankful that Ezekiel is set forth as an example of, you know, kind of an extreme case, or at least we hope, right? But we need to understand that everything in our life, the good and the bad, everything, the Lord intends to use it for good, both to one another, to ourselves, and to those that don't know the Lord, right? We are his signs in this world. He's sending messages through us. That's what, in I think it's 2 Corinthians, talks about how that we are the epistle written by the Lord. In other words, God's writing a letter to other people. And you know what that letter is? Us. It's amazing. Let's pray together.